Brother Ray is going to be preaching today, and appreciate Brother Ray. He has stepped up and stepped in, and Rachel's right alongside him, busy seeing what they can do. When I had my accident with the truck slamming into me, Althea called. That was on a Saturday. Althea called to let Ray know he's probably going to have to be preaching the next day, and he was ready to go. And he said, "Well, we can come." And she goes, "They can come." I said, "No, no. It was their daughter's birthday, so don't come." They showed up anyway. He got there, and I still, even though I was, thought I was going to die, I really actually was thinking about it, and I still had a sense of humor. I hope I have a sense of humor when I'm still in the casket, amen? And dying to find out if I will. Anyway, I remember Ray and Rachel come walking in, and I looked up at him, and I said, "You disobeyed. I told you not to come. You are fired." Huh? And I was just joking with him. But, you know, the Lord showed me that it's one thing to pastor. It's one thing to preach the word and stuff. It's another thing to have a pastor's heart for the people. And he was actually shepherding the shepherd that night. And I thought, the Lord's confirming to me that he will be called one day to lead and be a part of the work. So we're excited about having him here. So, Ray, why don't you come up and share with us what God's given you from his word in this area here on missions today. Appreciate you, brother.
We're going to be starting off this morning in probably the most popular missions passage in Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. In Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This passage, we refer to it as the Great Commission. It's the Great Commission, the great mission that God has given us to go and do as believers. We're told that we are to preach the gospel, to teach the word of God, and to add them to the church through baptism. This is given to us after Christ has lived his life on this earth, lived a perfect life, a sinless life, yet dying on the cross for our sins, putting himself up there so that you and I could have the grace that we talked about this morning in Sunday school, that we could be saved, that we can have forgiveness of our sins. And after he died on that cross, he spent how many days in the grave? 3, right? 3 days in the grave. 3 days to confirm to us that, and to those around, that he was dead, that the payment was made. But that wasn't the end, because he only spent 3 days. And he rose from the grave, giving victory over death and sin. He brings to you salvation, forgiveness of your sins. He brings to you victory over those sins and over the consequence of those sins, death and hell. And he lives forever going with us. He walked on this earth after his resurrection with his disciples, teaching them and encouraging them to go on. And he tells them that, "I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you a job to do." And that's what this Great Commission is. That's what we've been looking at this whole month, the missions. It's doing what God has commanded us to do. And is he going to leave us alone forever? Or be gone forever? No, he's coming back. He could come back right now. It's imminent. That means that imminent doesn't mean soon. It means that it can happen at any time. Like, there's nothing holding it back. Nothing that needs to happen before God can come. So, first question, are you ready for that? Are you ready? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? If they are, this brings the second question. Are you living like he's going to be coming back immediately? Again, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. One thing I really want to focus on this morning is given to us here in verse number 20. He tells us to teach whatever we were commanded, or what God has commanded. And he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I want to focus on that portion in this passage. But before we dig into this too far, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would help us as we study this. God, I pray that you would use me, give me the words and the mind that I can present this the way you want it. I pray that you would give us ears and hearts to hear, that we would be challenged and encouraged through what we're going to be looking at this morning. We thank you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, it says, "And lo, I am with you sometimes." No. Always. There's never a time where God leaves us. He's always with us. When we are witnessing, when we talk about missions, we're not talking about only those that are going across country or going to different states or different cities or different nations. Mission starts right here. The church, you and I, we're not established for the sole purpose of us gathering together. We're established to gather together and then to go out to the community we're around and bring them in so that they may know Christ and have fellowship with Christ. And when we do that, when we're completing the Great Commission, when we are doing missions, we do not have to do them alone. We are doing them with Christ. We are following along with Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You may want to hold your place here because we'll be back to this passage here after a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We are laborers together with who? With God. That's an amazing thing. That we are laborers together with God. There's certain people that it's pretty cool to do jobs with and to work with, right? I work as an automotive technician, so, which may have been a mistake to say, but I'm an honest tech. There's certain things that I've seen different crews working. You know, we watch videos or NASCAR or racing sports, and you're like, those would be cool crews to work with. That would be great to work with. The privilege to work with those guys probably would never be up to their level, but it'd be cool to do. And there's just some great people that would be cool to work with or do things with, and you can probably think of somebody in your field or just different hobbies you like to do that might be fun to do that with them. And it might be a cool privilege to have. But we get to do one of the greatest works with the greatest being in all the universe. The greatest being outside of the universe and in the universe. We get to tell people about the gospel, about salvation, working alongside the one who gives that salvation. It's an amazing thing. We are laborers together with God. That brings us to point number one. He goes with us. We don't have to do it just alone. We always talk about, we'll talk about how like when Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent out two by two. We talk about how when we go out, we should usually try to have two by two. We should have somebody with us there to help us and talk with them. And you, if you've done it, if you know how to share the gospel, you should also take somebody who maybe doesn't to try to help them learn how to. But we talk about going together. We don't have to just go together with somebody. If we are by ourselves at the gas station or by ourselves at the store or alone at work with somebody, we can give them a gospel without actually being alone. Because God is there working with us. He is there next to us. He is there in us. We will do the work of missions, and we will do it with God. If we're willing to go out and give the gospel to those in need, God is always there with us. In Exodus chapter number 33, verse 14 and 15, God is telling Moses to head towards the promised land, to go that direction. And Moses is up on the mountain with God and talking with God. And God tells him to go, and he says, "If you go, I will go with you." And Moses' response is probably one of the most important responses that every believer should have. And he said, God said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he spake unto him, Moses says to God, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses, talking with God, God says, I'm going to go with you. And Moses says, good, because if you don't, I don't want to go. That should be every day of our life. God, I don't want to get out of this bed if you're not going to be with me. I don't want to talk to this person. I've said that to God, actually. Somebody will be talking to me about, I'll be talking to somebody about the gospel. I'll be like, God, shut this conversation down if you're not going to be with me, because I don't want to do it without you, because this is, honestly, it's scary. And by the way, it should be scary, because you are dealing with the most important topic that you will ever talk to somebody about. So you should be nervous about it. You should be worried about it. But you should also have peace that God is there with you. Realize that God is there working with you. That God is not there just, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but God's not just sitting back with his arms crossed watching. I've had that in a couple situations with people. You start talking with somebody and the third person is just sitting there back just watching, letting you fall on your face. Our God doesn't do that for us. He's there with us. He goes with us. His presence is with us. And he gives us peace and rest and confidence in what we're talking to them about. In the same way that God went with his people to the promised land, so does our God go with us. In Exodus chapter 33, I'm going to turn there real quick. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 33. In verse number 16, after Moses says this to God, in verse number 16, it says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. God doesn't just go with us in a general sense. Look at verse number 17. He says, I know thee by name. God doesn't just go with us in a general thing. It's not just a vague word. It's not just something, oh, we can say and think about. God is a personal God that knows us and is there with us personally. Not just in a vague sense where we'll talk about how God is everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. But do you realize that while he is everywhere, all of him is also with you and his entire focus is on you while his focus is on everything as well. He focuses on you. He talks with you. He's with you wherever you go and whatever you may do. Israel, the people that Moses was leading into the promised land, Israel was the first lighthouse of God to the world. They were chosen by God in Abraham to be the light of the world. The world was supposed to look towards them and follow or watch them follow God. They were supposed to be able to see God in Israel. Israel failed in that. Israel rejected God when God walked with them. Israel hung their God on a cross. So God now opens it to the church, the Gentiles, the rest of the world, as a temporary replacement. Israel will be brought back later. But we are now that light, current lighthouse to the world. But it's interesting, instead of with Israel, they had to come to one location to find God and find the gospel. We as a church are commanded to go. We are now to spread. They were a lighthouse. We're more of people carrying candlesticks. We're telling people that is what we're supposed to be doing. And if we look at Israel and we see their failings and we criticize them and we mock them, that's a foolish thing, because you are one choice away from being just like they were. We are given the responsibility, the privilege, to tell others about Christ. And when we go and when we tell, God is with us. And the amazing thing about God, He is infinite. So He is never more with me than He is with you. He is just as much with you sharing the gospel as He is with me sharing the gospel, or He is with Pastor sharing the gospel. He is there with us infinitely. He is there with us completely. Not only does God go with us, but God works with us. He doesn't just go with us, but He works with us. Have you ever been doing work that takes two people? You're carrying something that should take two people, and the second person that's helping you is just not helping at all. You know, they're just not, either not strong enough or not focused enough or not capable enough, or they don't care enough, but they're not helping you at all. They're making the problem worse. I remember doing that to my dad a couple times when I was a kid, causing more problems than I was solutions. But with God, when we're working with God, it is not that way. When God is working with us, He is helping us in a way that is actually beneficial. He's helping us in a way far beyond what we could do on our own. In Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 5 through 6, it says, "Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So what good is it that God is with us? What does that bring about? It brings about the boldness to say, God is my helper. That God is there with me, that God will take care of me, that God will give me the words to say when I don't know what to say, that God will give me the right way to explain it, that God will protect me no matter what they do to me. Does that mean that we may not have that today very often here in America because of freedom, but does that mean that God will never allow you to be beaten or mocked or thrown in prison for your sin or for your for giving the gospel? No, look at Paul. He was beaten to death. Either to death where he died completely or just an inch from death. He was beaten to death for giving the gospel. But was that what his entire life was? Or was that his entire eternity? No, God allowed him to go through that to strengthen him, to strengthen those around them so that people would hear the gospel. What He did in protecting him was that He protected him in an eternity. He gave him an eternity of peace in heaven where we will have, no matter what it says here in this passage in Hebrews 13:6, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It doesn't mean that that people won't do stuff to you. It means that you don't need to fear it. Because they're mocking you, what does it matter? They're beating you, what does it matter? I have heaven, I am doing what my God who loved me asked me to do, commanded me to do. I was going to use a stupid illustration for spouses, but have you ever had to go pick up something that was embarrassing from the store to get for your spouse? But you did it. You did it because your wife asked you to. You did it because it was needed. You know, but why did you do it? You did it because you loved, right? Because you loved her, because you knew you should. You knew it was needed. If you love God, no matter how embarrassing it is to share the gospel, you'll do it because you love Him and because it's needed. We do not have to fear anything because God is there with us and God is there working with us. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we're going to read a few verses here, so flip there with me if you will. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." In a time in the church of Corinth when there is division and arguing and pride, Paul reminds them that what the work is about is not the people. It's not about the person. Paul and Apollos were amazing men of the gospel. They gave the gospel despite many beatings. Despite the area they were in. Corinth was a wicked, wicked, wicked area. Yet they stayed faithful to God and they preached and they gave the gospel and they witnessed and they planted and they watered. But they never lifted themselves up with pride. They were never the cause for someone's salvation. Who causes salvation? From this passage, God alone. It is God that giveth the increase. Paul here is writing and he's saying, I and Apollos are nothing. It's God that you need to be looking towards. It's God that you need to be following. For you, have you ever said, maybe out loud, maybe in your heart, I can't witness. I don't know enough. I'm not capable enough. I don't know what to do. Well, guess what? It don't matter. Because it's not you that matters. It's God that matters. And if you are giving the gospel with God and God working with you, that's all that matters. I have personally given the gospel and butchered every word that I said. I didn't know what I was, the words were not coming out right, they weren't working right. And at the end I asked the guy, the kid I was witnessing to, I was like, does any of this make sense to you? And I'm like, yes, I need to be saved. And I was like, awesome, that was definitely God because I did nothing there. It is God that works with us. It is by God's working that the gospel takes effect. God works in us when we give ourselves over to Him. He works in us to say the right words, to say the things we ought to. It's like you use that as an example. There's been other times where I've witnessed and bring up an illustration that I would never have thought of on my own. Or words like, I don't even know why I said it that way. But it clicked to the person I was talking to. That was God working in me to say something that would work in them. And God working in their hearts to make them understand. When God is working with us, He's not just working in the speaker of the gospel, but He's also working in the hearer of the gospel. Paul here in this passage, he uses the illustration of gardening. He says, "Ye are God's husbandry." That's gardening. He uses the illustration of gardening. And all throughout it, He does the same with planting and watering. We share the gospel. And we are planting the seeds and we are doing the watering. But it is God that makes it grow. When He calls us His husbandry, it's His garden that we are. He is the one that prunes us, that trims us, that pulls the weeds out from around us, that takes care of us to make us ready to give the gospel and us ready to grow in the gospel. God works with us. And I know I'm probably beating the dead horse with this. But have you ever thought about how amazing it is that God works with us? Like He could use, well, He did use at one point a donkey, right? He can use the angels. He's used them before to give messages. He Himself was down here on the earth walking in human flesh, giving the gospel. But today He chooses to use you. He wants you to give the gospel and He wants to work with you. If you don't see that it is an amazing thing, sit on it for a little bit. So not only does God go with us and God work with us, but God empowers us. He goes with us, He works alongside of us in the heart of the hearer and in the heart of the speaker. But He doesn't expect us to witness in our own power and our own might. We are able to witness in the power of God Himself. John 14, 15 through 18, it says, "If ye love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And when we jump down to verse number 26 of the same passage, and it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the third part of the Trinity, is here. And He is with us to give us power to share the gospel, to give us boldness to do so. Christ Himself promised that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance the things that have been taught to us. The Holy Spirit works in us to be able to teach the gospel. He brings to remembrance the scriptures that we have known, that we study, that we have read, that we may be able to give an answer to everyone that needs to hear the gospel. By the way, there's an understood caveat to this. To bring to remembrance, you must already have it in your mind and in your heart. So if you're not in God's Word, He can't bring it to remembrance. So you need to be in God's Word so that when you are giving the gospel, He can bring it to remembrance. The Holy Spirit indwelling us empowers us to spread the gospel. The Great Commission is given to every church, to every believer. And we are not alone, even if we're the only human there. We have the entirety of God as our co-laborer. He goes with us, He works with us, and He empowers us. We have God with us. 1 Corinthians 3:9. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." So share the gospel, knowing that you're not alone, knowing that God is there with you, that God works with you, that God empowers you. Rely on God for sharing the gospel. It's the command we're given as believers. By the way, if you're a believer, if you truly have accepted Christ as your Savior, we should want others to know. We should want others to know the truth, to know the gospel of Christ. So I pray that this what we focused on this morning was an challenge, but an encouragement to get out there and tell people about Christ. That we can see more souls saved and that we can follow what God has asked us to do. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that you are with us and that you work with us. I pray that you would just help us as we go about our day, about our weeks, that we would witness of you to those around us. God, we just thank you for all that you do. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.